Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. I hate to bring this up on Thanksgiving weekend, but, well, let's just say that when the state health department says Indiana is the ninth fattest state in the nation, maybe it's time to put down the gravy bowl. It's safe to say that a lot of us have indulged a little too heavily, and now studies show that 62% of Hoosiers are overweight. Maybe you're thinking, only 62%? Hey, don't judge. Instead, join us for a visit to the Adult Physical Fitness Program, open to the public at Ball State University. That's somebody running on one of the treadmills. One of the most faithful attendees just so happens to be Lenny Kaminsky, a professor of exercise science and director of the Fisher Institute for Wellness and Gerontology. He says there's a reason we're so chunky.
Probably the biggest thing that people have given up on, you know, they almost feel like fitness is what these elite athletes you see, you know, sports, that's what fitness is. And because they can't do those type of things, it's almost like we've given up to a degree on fitness versus just using our bodies naturally. And, you know, one of the things I learned very early on when I got in the field of exercise physiology is that, you know, our bodies were designed to move. And if we don't use our bodies regularly, they will deteriorate faster. Certainly with age, our bodies tend to decline. But if we're not using them regularly, they decline at a faster rate. And it's almost like what we're seeing in our population is accelerated aging due to lack of physical activity.
And you've seen some of this through the Human Performance Labs research with regard to people going to space, right?
Yeah, our colleagues, Dr. Scott Trappe and Dr. Todd Trappe, who head up that line of research, have really seen some of those things. It's kind of an accelerated aging process through the loss of muscle, particularly on the space station up there, when people up there for prolonged periods of time, 180 days.
Are we seeing today people aging in a different way than we would have seen them age decades ago? We're living longer, but being less active, right?
Yeah, I think the two things there. I mean, we hear a lot in our country nowadays about the obesity epidemic. So that's causing tremendous strain on the body just by carrying all that excess mass, and particularly the fat mass, and what that does to kind of the body's physiology, the heart and diabetes and all these chronic diseases that it impacts. But the other side of it that we kind of don't recognize as often, unless we think about it, is also the lack of physical activity. So we're seeing people now that are in their 50s and 60s and aren't able to do as many things physically as maybe 20 or 30 years ago just because of deconditioning and the excess body mass they have.
This change has happened in just the last 20 or 30 years ago. I guess I was thinking of the time when people worked on the farm and all that sort of thing. But there have been changes just since the 70s and 80s.
Oh, certainly, particularly with the obesity epidemic. But, you know, the physical activity statistics are pretty alarming, too, how few people in our country do what would be considered the recommended amount of exercise. And even if we would go out on the street and ask people how much exercise or physical activity would you get, it's probably not recognized as much. And it's really a basic thing that's out there nowadays. The physical activity guidelines for Americans say 30 minutes of moderate intensity exercise 5 days a week. That would be a recommended amount of physical activity. Doesn't seem too much, really. And, you know, moderate exercise would be going out for a brisk walk. So doing a 30-minute brisk walk, even if you broke it up in three 10-minute time periods, would kind of meet the recommendation. A recent study that came out actually measuring this with more like activity monitors versus just asking people what they do reported that less than 5% of the American population actually does that level of physical activity.
So there's a difference between what people say they do and maybe what we think we do and what.
Yeah, and some of it, people aren't outright lying, but the impression of the common thing people do is they, when you ask them about that, well, I'm really busy. I'm really busy, which means I must be probably really active. Therefore, yeah, I'm doing a lot of activity throughout the day, where in reality, the busyness are more sedentary type activities. It's computer screen time, different things like that, that Our work lives have become very hectic and busy that way, but our work lives also have kind of taken a lot of movement out of it.
You know, I'm thinking back to the late 1970s, early 1980s, gym fix, the growth and jogging and running.
Yep.
Did that all go away? Did we lose that somewhere along the line?
There's still a good core of people, and I don't know the actual statistics as far as percent of people doing these big races. There's a lot of big marathons and 10K races out there. You know, the Indy Mini that we have right, you know, down the street here in Indianapolis every May is a very popular event. So I think there's a core of people that still enjoy doing those type of activities and are performing that, but it's the average population, it just, like I said in the beginning, seems to have lost touch with, you know, we need to move regularly and be a part of that. We're too busy. The number one excuse people give for not being regularly active or an exerciser is, I don't have enough time.
Good exercise doesn't have to be running and weightlifting necessarily. I mean, you mentioned brisk walking, for example, mm-hmm. which would be 4 miles an hour or 3.5 miles an hour?
Yeah, even 3 miles an hour would be considered a brisk walking pace. So if you could walk a mile in 20 minutes, that would be considered a brisk walking pace. And there's a number that we use, or a term we use in kind of clinical practice, particularly when we're talking with, you know, hospital-based professionals, and it's a term called a MET. And MET stands for metabolic equivalent. And it's a concept where if we say one MET is what we're doing right now, our resting level of energy expenditure. And then when we do activity, we could say, how many times above rest is that? So walking is considered a 3 to 4 MET activity. Okay, so you've elevated above your resting rate about 3 to 4 times. And so now when we think about the person's fitness level, we could put that in terms of METs. What is your maximal capacity? And kind of the average, maybe American male, 40-year-old male or something, would be around 10 METs. And when you think of walking, yeah, that's a fairly comfortable type of thing. But as we age, that fitness level will decline. And so now that brisk walk is going to become a little bit more of a challenge for some people. And if your fitness really declines because you're not doing regular activity, now that brisk walk will almost be like, almost like a maximal effort is going to be required. So it's become pretty challenging.
We have a large segment of the population now getting older.
Mm-hmm.
Are there implications for healthcare costs?
Oh, yeah, certainly. It's a major thing driving now. And with the elderly population, and elderly, depending how you define it, could be, you know, late 50s, 60s, 70s. But again, going back to what we mentioned with obesity and lack of physical activity, those are two primary things that are risk factors for a variety of these chronic diseases. So these diseases are happening at an earlier age for people, and thus the healthcare costs are really getting ramped up.
Professor Lenny Kaminsky, director of the Fisher Institute for Wellness and Gerontology. There's a lot of concern lately about overweight Hoosiers, but also those of us simply not getting enough exercise. When we come back, being active without having to be obsessive about it.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com.
Are there more people walking? Because these messages are out there. Hey, you need to be active.
Right.
Any sign that people are hearing that?
Unfortunately, there's not been a lot of change in that. So it was 1995, the first public health statement came out called Physical Activity and Health, and it really promoted this, trying to walk, do activities like that would be good if you could do that 30 minutes a day. Unfortunately, it hasn't been that well received and implemented. Now, we live in kind of this bubble here at Ball State, and we have a lot of things going on, a beautiful campus, so it's a nice, pleasant atmosphere. And the environment is a key thing. And so there's a lot going on, I know, in urban planning and different areas that, you know, let's design neighborhoods the way they used to be, where you would have a grocery store in your neighborhood and a coffee shop in your neighborhood, and you would walk to those places, versus now we tend to, You know, I live in more of a suburban area, and there's no connectivity to it. So in order for me to get out of that neighborhood, I have to go to the front of it and go all the way around to do that versus being able to walk through this, what's basically an area that there's no path through there to get to what the stores would be. So they are doing that in inner cities, and I think we're seeing a lot more of that in some of the metropolitan areas, that they're designing things that way. I know right here in Muncie, a great effort's gone on putting bike paths in. So that's helping people where, you know, before if there wasn't a bike path there, people might be a little nervous about riding the bike in traffic here, but now that there's a designated place for that and good walking paths, you're doing some nice things like on Martin Street, I think it is. I put a beautiful sidewalk in there that you could go all the way down to the Greenway from campus. So that's to stimulate people. Here, here's a nice area to walk in, and it's more pleasant to do that. You could feel safe doing it. So, okay. So right from the like the village where the Village Promenade is, and you go down there, that what they did is they had two sidewalks on both sides of the street. They took it off the one side and widened it on the other, and it's beautiful and like brick lays, you know, for the transition areas, and it goes right down to the Greenway. Hopefully there'll be more things like that to help encourage people and remove those barriers that they've had.
Every other week, it seems that there's some news story about a new survey or report about Indiana and our fitness. Are we able to see differences in different parts of the country in terms of people's fitness and interest in exercise?
Certainly. And you know, that's been out there. That's what I was talking a little bit about, the environment. If you're in an area like Colorado, has often been known as one of the most active places, California, some of the southern states, where obviously weather's not as much of a detriment to that. But again, the more interior within a community design, not interior inside a house, but within a community, if you could get more walkways and pathways and things like that. So, you know, we're blessed here in Delaware County with the Greenway. You know, it's a beautiful place to get people out and be able to do, you know, you see people on their bikes, rollerblading, walking, jogging, all kinds of things. The challenge is getting them there sometimes. Do we have enough pathways to connect it that way? And so we're working on that within the community to get more of those connections there to really stimulate that. But, you know, I try and encourage people to just get out and walk more, you know, even on campus or park somewhere farther away on a regular basis. And you'd be surprised if you, instead of parking at the place right across the street from your building, you park in the lot down at the end of the block, and every day you're going to walk to your office and walk back. And that might be an extra 10 minutes of walking that just after a few weeks, that just becomes the natural thing you do. And again, we've kind of designed things out of our lifestyle, and intentionally we have to design them back into our lifestyle.
Do we have a fitness problem in Indiana?
Indiana, unfortunately, is not scored very well with a variety of health-related characteristics, and physical activity and fitness would be one of those. And, you know, through this recent work we've done, what we're really trying to do is promote people recognizing what their fitness level is. So it's more the fitness level of the heart and the whole body that we're talking about here. You know, what we see is that, you know, the research is very clear that that is a very powerful predictor of health as well as disease outcomes. And it's as powerful as the things that most of us would recognize as the major risk factors for heart disease. So if we think of high blood pressure, high cholesterol, cigarette smoking, cardiorespiratory fitness is as powerful or more powerful than any of those, even if we factor those in. And I always say that one of the real benefits or the bonuses of regular exercise and physical activity is not only do you get that benefit, your fitness is improved, which means all the activities you do throughout the day seem a little bit easier to do and maybe more enjoyable that way, but it also impacts those other things, so obesity and high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Regular exercise helps control those things or manage those things if you have those conditions.
Lenny Kaminsky, director of the Fisher Institute for Wellness and Gerontology at Ball State and a professor of exercise science. Studies show the country has a weight problem, and he makes the point that this only happened in the last 30 years or so. Coming up, the story of a young accountant working in an office who put on 25 pounds thanks to all the coffee and donuts, how he got the weight off, and in the process, changed old habits into new determination. In other words, the story of Professor Kaminsky himself. I'm gonna let you. 'Cause when the feeling is right.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
It really is. It's a tremendous crisis we're facing in this country. That the good news is, again, I try and convince people it's our choice. You know, we can make that choice to change. Sometimes I think we've lost the sense that, you know, we're in control of this. We are in control for the most part of our own health. So if we could do those simple things by just maybe making better food choices, more fruits and vegetables, natural products versus all this processed food, as well as just becoming more active. And again, you don't have to be a marathon runner or a big weightlifter or whatever to get the benefits of physical activity. Something as simple as walking 30 minutes a day. You mentioned people that could have joint problems and things like that. Certainly, I had a knee surgery, and so running isn't as good for me to do. I could still do it if I'd like to, but it's probably not as good of a choice for me. And now there's a lot of different variations. Walking is one of those, but if I go to a gym to exercise, one of the newer instruments out there these days is called an elliptical trainer, which takes the stress off the joints. So you could still kind of get that gliding motion, kind of like when you were a jogger or runner, still feel that way and work pretty hard, but it takes the pressure off the joints. So there are a lot of good options out there these days. Swimming is a great activity if you have access to a pool and do that. So there's a lot of choices that people can make to find something you would enjoy physical activity-wise and don't feel like you have to be a marathon runner, you know. The people that do that, it's great for them. They enjoy it. They should continue doing that. But if you're not one of those people, find something you'd enjoy doing.
There are many things that we know that are good for us, but that we don't do. Did you ever have to confront this yourself? I mean, you look like you're in great shape.
Yeah, my very first job when I graduated undergrad, I was an accountant at that time. And my first job was a desk accounting job. And guess what? We had the coffee shop or coffee room down the hall. And every morning they would have donuts or pastries or something. And I gained 25 pounds in the first 6 months when I was sitting as a desk accountant. And I often joke that I played the sport lacrosse, and I say lacrosse really changed or saved my life to a degree because they had a club lacrosse team, and I said, I'm going to have to start doing something to get this weight off, or I'm not going to be very good on the lacrosse field anymore. So I started jogging at that time and was able to get the weight off. I hadn't had it on that long, so it came off fairly easily. And after that, I recognized that, yeah, this exercise thing, now that you're in an occupation and you don't have, when you were younger, always out and about doing things, you don't have that luxury when you're a working professional oftentimes. So you have to, again, design it back into your lifestyle. I have to make a commitment that part of my week is going to include exercise. And
how do you do it? Do you first thing in the morning, in the evening, or just whenever you can?
Well, for me, the time I found best is in the middle of the day. You know, I tend to get up early and do some work early and find that a very productive work time. And so it's the noon hour is a nice time for me to take a break in that and do that. But it really, it depends on the individual. We have a number of people in our adult fitness program that are early morning exercisers. And for a lot of people that have struggled with finding a time for exercise, we recommend that as the time, because except for trying to, you know, turn your alarm clock off, there's no other conflicts. Usually there's no work demands at that time. There's no family demands at that time. So that would be a time that you could do it. But for others, it's at the end of the day. So that's where our afternoon, evening program and the adult fitness program has been beneficial for people. So there's no one magic time. It's really what's best for you to do that.
I'll bet that it's helpful to have somebody to do this with. So an adult exactly. fitness program yeah. where you have some support, is there yeah. that dimension?
Yeah, that's a real key. You know, and again, everybody's different. There's a few people just, I want to do this on my own. But the majority of people having some support to do that, particularly if it's been a while since you or you've never been a regular exerciser, to have somebody. And sometimes it's a spouse. Sometimes it's a good friend. You know, my buddy and I are going to start walking or join a fitness program to do that. People that, you know, maybe don't have that support built in, that's where design programs like the adult fitness program we have on campus is great, because they do get that camaraderie. It's really fun to see our participants in the program down there, that somebody will come in and, hey, John, how are you? Or, John, I haven't seen you in a week. Where have you been? And so that really helps encourage, you know, John now is saying, I guess I better come because I don't want my buddies in here to be, you know, kind of giving me the what to, you know, if I'm not showing up for a while.
Can you describe that program a little bit?
The Adult Fitness Program was started here at Ball State in the early 1970s. In fact, it's probably the longest running university-based fitness program in the country. Bud Getchell was the founder of that program, and so all of us who have followed in Bud's footsteps have really benefited by what he started. And he started this, like I said, in the early 1970s when fitness wasn't a common thing for people and regular exercise wasn't a common thing. So it has developed over the years, and it's still an ongoing program. It's based now in the Gora Student Recreation and Wellness Center, but it's a standalone program that's offered not just on campus, but to anybody in the community, where they could come in and they would go through a complete health screening here in the Human Performance Laboratory through the Clinical Exercise Physiology Program and have a variety of different things assessed to make sure that, you know, if there are any health-related problems or conditions they have that maybe, you know, talking to their physician would be a good thing, those get identified. And then it actually ends with an exercise test where we would measure their cardiorespiratory fitness. Based on that, we can give those individuals some good individualized advice about this is where you're at, and these might be some good strategies for you to develop a fitness program. Certainly, we ask people what are they interested in or what are some of their likes or dislikes. You know, I don't want to run or I don't like cycling or whatever. So we design that in as far as making the recommendations. And in the very beginning, you know, certainly we'll take a very gradual approach to get people used, get their bodies used to regular activity. Because any change that we have, it's going to take a while to adapt to that. So we encourage people to take it slow. And really, the goal is to make this a lifelong habit that they're going to have.
Lenny Kaminsky, Ball State Professor of Exercise Science, Director of the Fisher Institute for Wellness and Gerontology. Now that we're into the championship eating season, otherwise known as the holidays, thought it would be good to get some fitness inspiration. Some of us struggle with this constantly. If you want some support, not to mention guidance from fitness experts, you might check out Ball State's Adult Physical Fitness Program. You can Google them up. I will also put the link on our Facebook page, and if you really get stuck, just give me a call or drop me a note here at Indiana Weekend. And that, fitness fans, is our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft. Glad you could join us this time, and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks, and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from IPR's listeners. We hope you'll join your friends who are IPR members. You can go to indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.